Welcome, radio friends, to the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, the teacher and preacher here on the Anchored in Jesus. And I would like to come to you with a special appeal. We are looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month to this ministry. God has blessed us over the years and has been faithful in providing for our airtime. But now we are coming to our listening audience and asking you to be a part of it. We would like for you to make a one-year commitment of $25 a month. If we could get 100 people, that would take care of the broadcast charges each month. Now, with that commitment, we also have a book that I want to share with you. The title of the book is one that I wrote. It's called 50 Ways to Resist the Devil, and it deals with spiritual warfare. As we look at our life today, we see as believers, we are in constant spiritual warfare. And so this book will help you to develop strategies for dealing with Satan and all of his forces as you go out into the world. 50 Ways to Resist the Devil will be yours if you will commit to be a part of this ministry. We are calling those who commit to give $25 a month anchored partners. And so we want to invite you to be an anchored partner. Now, let me say this. As we have put this ministry together over the years, we have done it all with volunteer support. Those who handle the requests are volunteers. Those who prepare the programs are volunteers. And any funds that we receive, 100% of it goes to airtime. So you can be assured that your money will go to support the ongoing work here at the Anchored in Jesus radio ministry, and it will go to the airtime. So again, why don't you join us in becoming a anchored partner in giving $25 a month. There's a couple ways that you can do this. You can go to PayPal on our website, and that is www.anchoredinjesus.org, or you can make a checkout and send it to P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Or you can call the toll-free number and find out how you can become a monthly supporter of this ministry. The number is 877-831-5060. So we ask that you would be prayerful about how God would have you participate in this ministry. God bless you as you listen to the message today.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with the first half of weaning your soul from the breast of self. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of weaning your soul from the breast of self.
You'd open in your Bibles to Psalm 131 this morning. Psalm 131, very short psalm. Psalm 131. And this is a song of David. So either it was written by David or it was written for David. He says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself like a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even like a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forevermore. The title of our message this morning is Weaning Your Soul from the Breast of Self. Weaning your soul from the breast of self. Some of us are nurturing our soul on self. And that's a dangerous recipe when you nurture your soul on the breast of self. In the notes, we give you the background to this psalm. In this psalm, David gives tremendous insight into overcoming self. In this little three-verse psalm, he gives us a powerful process for doing so. The recognition of self, the removal of self, and the replacement of self. Surely this is something that he learned in his lifetime
whether by experience, observation, or by revelation. So David learned of the dangers of self. And as I said here, it's either by experience that he went through it himself, or it was by observation that he saw somebody else going through it, or it was by revelation, meaning that God opened his eyes and showed him. But we look at this powerful psalm, and there's a message in it for all of us. There was a song when I first got saved, and actually when my kids were growing up, and I used to love to hear this song, but it was called the Monster Song. And you know, I got to know the song pretty well back in the day, so I was able to sing it by heart, but I can't do it now. But I found the words. You know, this, sometimes, you know, when pastors research, you know, and go back, you know, sometimes it's difficult to bring some information. But I was able to go back into the archives and pull up this song from way back, probably in the 1980s, somewhere back in there. But it's called the Monster Song, and it was written by a lady by the name of Joy McKenzie. And she's talking about the heart, and wow, what lurks inside of the human heart. And she says, deep in a cave of the human heart is a monster's lair, all grimy and dark. And if just for a moment you forget what you're about and open up that door, a crack, there's hardly any doubt. The monsters will get you, so you better watch out. Now keep in mind, this is a children's song. Powerful children's song, but it has relevance even to us as adults. There's grisly greed with his grabby claws. Snatches what he catches for his juicy jaws. When you open up the heart, there's old jaded jealousy comes creeping across the floor to make you hate what you loved before when you open up the heart. There's arrogant ego with his capital eyes, leers from behind his what, quote unquote, humble disguise. Well, old tyrant temper lurks behind your back and watches for a chance for a sneak attack. This is what's in the heart. High up in the corner, way out of the light, is a nest of widow spiders, some black, some white. Lies they are, who spin a web so taut that the tiniest them will get you hopelessly caught. Danger, dishonesty, he hypnotized your mind, makes the bad look good and the cruel kind. He bribes behavior with temptation sweet. Then he's got you. Get a mirror and take a look at a cheat. It's when you least suspect it that you begin to feel those monsters stealing in to make their tasty meal. Don't mess with them. Their temple is impossible to tame. And you know if they get you, there's no one else to blame. The heart is a lair for monsters. The heart is a den where there are all kind of monsters lurking. That as you sit there today and, you know, look dressed up and paying attention and look like you're focused in, what monsters are creeping in your heart? Are you thinking about somebody who stood up here and ministered today and said, what in the world are they doing up there? The heart. Maybe you're sitting there saying, I can't believe that they wore that to church today. The heart. Maybe you're sitting there and you're plotting and you're scheming when you leave here today, how are you going to get over on this and how are you going to get over on that? Maybe there's jealousy in your heart. There are all kind of monsters in the heart. And we need to realize that song, as cute as it might be for children, is the real deal, is the reality of what lies in our heart. And let's be honest. Sometimes it's there, and we can do absolutely nothing about it. It's just there. And we try to subdue it. We try to overcome it. But when we put on our halo sometimes, this thing in our heart is so forceful and so strong that our horns stick out right through the halo, because you can't keep it down if you're not walking with God. And so I thank God for David, because David tells us how we can control this monster. And you know, sometimes we even, when we're in ministry, if we're not careful, we have selfish motives. Yeah, I told you before about years ago, a lady asked me, could she, how to become a deaconess at Bethany Baptist Church. And you know, I explained the process to her, and I asked her, well, why do you want to become a deaconess? And she said, because I want to sit up front and wear white on the first Sunday. What are your motives? What's in your heart? What's in self? You know, a guy was praying. He went to the pastor, and he was playing some lottery, gambling. And he went to the pastor, and he said that if I win this $100,000, he said, I'll give 10% of it to the church. Would you pray for me? And the pastor said, I can't pray for you to win money gambling. And the pastor started to walk away, and all of a sudden he thought, he said, I will pray for you on one condition. He said that you said that if you'll give 10% of what you win, $100,000, to the Lord if he helps you to win. And the guy said, yeah, that's right. He said, well, I'll pray for you on one condition. Why don't you start tithing right now, and then I'll pray for you. And the man said, but I can't afford the tithe. So, you know, he was selfish, right? He wanted God to bless him for $90,000, right? But he wasn't willing to give up the $10,000 or the 10% that he had right now. And so sometimes we as Christians, we can be selfish. You know, I have a message that I preach, Service with a Smile, and there's an illustration that I give in this message, Service with a Smile. But it talks about Jesus was walking along with his disciples one day. And as he was walking along with his disciples, he told them to pick up a stone. And they all picked up a stone. John picked up a big stone. Peter picked up a little stone. And they walked and they carried these stones for miles and miles and miles. And then all of a sudden, Jesus stops and he turns their stone into bread. And Peter said, man, if I knew he was going to do that, I would have picked up a bigger stone. So according to the legend, several years later, several months, he was walking along and he told the disciples to pick up a stone. And Peter went and picked up the biggest stone that he could find. And he carried this stone and he labored for miles under the sun, sweating and straining and huffing and puffing just for miles and miles. Then they came to the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus told them all to throw their stones into the lake. And Peter was upset. He was angry. Lord, why did you do that? Why did you tell us to pick them the first time you turned them to bread, and now you tell us to throw them in the lake? And according to the legend, Jesus looked at Peter and he said, Peter, who did you carry the stone for? Did you carry it for me or for yourself? It's sad to say there's a lot of people in ministry today that are carrying the stone for themselves. They're carrying the stone for their ego. They're carrying the stone for their pride. They're carrying the stone for their recognition. And we come and see today that this is what lurks inside the human heart. And David gives us the answer as to how we might overcome this monster called self. The first thing that we see is the recognition of self. The recognition of self. And it starts in the heart. Notice what he says in verse 1. Again, I said that David must have learned this either through experience, observation, or revelation. I'm not sure how he learned it, but he learned it because he's proclaiming it here. In verse 1, he says, Lord, my heart is not haughty. My heart is not haughty. My heart is not lifted up. My heart is not filled with self and ego and pride. The word haughty is another word for pride. If you look at your notes, I like what C.S. Lewis says. C.S. Lewis says, pride is a telescope turned the wrong way. It magnifies self and makes the heavens look, oh, oh, oh. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that hurts. When we turn that telescope, we look big and God looks small, because it's all about us. And that's what pride does. Pride makes God small. You know, we sang about God this morning. Sister Johnson committed herself to God and in his hand. She made God big this morning. In spite of what she was going through, she made God big. But sometimes we reverse that telescope and God becomes small and we become big. And we become like that woodpecker that was pecking on the tree. And he pecked on the tree for hours. And all of a sudden, a bolt of lightning hit the tree and shattered it, the smithereens. And the woodpecker got knocked to the ground. And when he got up, he said, "Hey, everybody, look what I just did. Look what I just did." And that's the way we are. You know, we see the hand of God. We see God moving. And yet and still, we think it's about us, because we're filled with self. We're filled with ego. It's like the elephant and the ant that walked across the bridge. And when they walked across the bridge shook all the way over. And they got on the other side, and the ant said, "Man, we sure did make that bridge shake, didn't we?" See, sometimes we think a lot better of ourselves and a lot bigger of ourselves than we are. But what did David say? David said, "Lord, my heart is not haughty." See, pride starts inside. That's that monster, as we looked at that song. It's that monster that starts inside. That's where self starts at, right in there. And if you don't root it out in the heart, it moves, as David said, to the next thing. He said, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty." You know what it means to have lofty eyes? It means that you look above others. It means that you see yourself above people around you. That you think that you are somebody to be reckoned with. You think that you are somebody to be bowed down to. You think that you are somebody. You think the whole world revolves around you. You know, there are some people, they think that the sun don't come up and the birds don't start singing until they wake up in the morning. Well, I got news for you. That's going to happen whether you get up or not. But some people think that the whole world revolves around them. And David said that my eyes are not lofty. I'm not look above others. Look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Let me show you what it means to have lofty eyes. And sometimes, you know, we get so stinking self-righteous. We get so stinking religious, right? Verse 9, "And he spoke this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you,'" lofty eyes, "'that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector.'" It's easy to look down at other people. But you know what I find, brothers and sisters, that you can't use other people as your standard. Because when you use other people as your standard, you can always find somebody worse than you are. And you can always say, "Well, look, I'm better than him." And so the Pharisee had a standard of other people. But when you compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, that raises the bar. I heard a commercial about beds, mattress factory or something like that. And I remember the guy said that we make our mattresses out of quality materials. And, you know, he went all on to talk about the mattress. And he said some of these other companies, you know, they see what they can skimp and they can get by with. And then he said this in the commercial: for some of them, it's a race to the bottom. A race to the bottom. He said that we're trying to maintain the standard. We're trying to lift the standard high. We're trying to hold it up. But a lot of these other mattress factories, it's a race to the bottom. They're seeing how much they can cut corners and how cheap they can come. And you know what? That's the way this Pharisee was. It was a race to the bottom. Because had he really been right, he would have been looking and saying, I can't compare to Jesus Christ. I can't compare to God's standard. Even in the Old Testament, even though Jesus hadn't come, Jesus came, but he hadn't died on the cross and rose again. So if we look back, even in the Old Testament, what was God's requirement? Be ye holy, therefore, as I am holy. He wasn't even lifting up to that standard, but yet still, he could find somebody down here. Stinking self. Stinking self. We can always find somebody down there. And then, you know, it's always people get self-defensive and people begin to what? They begin to proclaim their own goodness. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess. I attend classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute. I serve as an usher. I sing in the choir. You know, so we proclaim our own goodness. That's self. You want to get a picture of self, a true picture of self? Not only that song that I put up, but look at this right there. This is a true picture of self. You put down others, lofty eyes, and you do what? You exalt yourself. My. But if we want a role model to follow, we ought to follow this tax collector who stood afar off. He didn't have lofty eyes. He didn't have grandiose eyes. But the Bible says that he wouldn't even much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but hit himself on the chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Self. That's how to get rid of self. Fall on the grace and fall on the mercy of God. So we see here that David recognized self. Have you recognized yourself? Have you really recognized yourself? You know, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, and I don't stand and by no means proclaim, you know, my innocence or goodness, but, you know, sometimes I really hate having devotions in the morning. Because a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, I just leave there with a beatdown, man. I leave with a beatdown where God is just saying, Bill, come on, man. Come on, buddy. You know, this. And, you know, I'm not looking. It's not my mother. It's not my father. But it's me. I got to start with me. Before I start looking at others and trying to judge and tear, I got to look at Bill Glaze. You know, there was a football team, and they were losing. And they were a good team. They had great athletes on it. And, you know, just skilled athletes, big linemen. And they should have been just beating every team that they played. And the coach tried to figure out how to motivate these guys. And he did something that was very strange. He brought a casket into the locker room. And he told each man to walk by and look in that casket. He said, in the casket, you will see the problem and you will see the answer. And each one went by and their hearts were moved and their hearts were moved.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Weaning Your Soul from the Breast of Self. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Weaning Your Soul from the Breast of Self, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Weaning Your Soul from the Breast of Self. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Weaning Your Soul from the Breast of Self, or call us at 877-831-5060. Today's teaching is part of a larger series of messages from the Book of Psalms. You can request the entire 24-part series from our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, please visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.